Welcome to the Legislative Group's teaching session 7. We're going to be looking at framing your life from the desire of your heart. Again, just recapping on where we've been, looking at legislation, making or enacting laws, to use that law to provide the authority to create, prepare, or rule. We've looked at where we legislate from our mountain thrones. Where do we get legislation? From the ark, from various courts, various places in the realms of heaven. The function of that is to enable us to govern the house, have charge of the courts, and to perform his service, and eventually to have access to stand in the assemblies of God so that we can actually outwork that rule, that government, and begin to administrate the kingdom as sons of God. There are various courts of heaven which we recognize, different protocols, different functions. We need to understand how to use the mandates and the legislation we've got using those courts and being able to administrate it. So legislation uses the laws or principles of the kingdom of God. And when we have Zechariah 3:7, it says, perform my service, or various versions say, keep my requirements, the priestly function to keep my charge, to keep or follow my instruction, to outwork my covenant. There are different ways of thinking about this, but this is what we do in the realm of heaven when we begin to first use the legislative principles that God has given us. But when we receive those principles, we have to not just try and do it out of obedience or out of duty. The authorization of a law or a mandate gives us the right to be able to do something. Now, if it becomes the desire of our heart and not just religious duty, then the power of that flows. Because God is not just looking for stewards, but co-heirs, sons. You know, we've gone through the stewardship process to become friends of God. And in that friendship, he wants to reveal the nature of who we are in terms of his sons. So whatever God reveals or mandates to us, it's important that we cultivate that desire in our hearts. Because when it's in our heart, then we have authority to release it. So once it's in our heart, it can flow out of our heart in a creative way. Proverbs 4:23, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. So it's really important to have within our hearts that which God has written there, so that desires of our hearts are aligned with his desire for us. Then we can use the authority that gives us to frame or align our lives according to that which we've been authorized to do. So then we can rule over the circumstances. Our lives are ordered and aligned to God's purpose, and therefore we have a higher level of governmental authority. So I first, in my sort of daily walk with God, I first engage in relationship with first love. And there's a sense of being baptized into the Father, Son, and Spirit. You know, I drink the living water from the wells of salvation, as it describes in John 4. I yoke myself to Jesus, so I'm disciple with him. I can learn from him to be gentle and humble in heart. I surrender the seat and rest and government of the throne in my spirit so that the Father can father me. And essentially, I'm becoming joined to the Lord and one spirit with him in that process. 1 Corinthians 6:17, I'm now joined to the Lord, one spirit. I now release a flow from heaven through me into the world around me, as it describes in John 7:37, rivers of living water flowing from our innermost being. Ezekiel 47, the river of life, a trickle, a flow, a stream, a river, a torrent. And that's God's desire, that it would flow through us. We would be flowing with it, and literally it's not under our control. We become a channel for God's life to flow into the world around us. So I yield and I open all the gateways of my spirit, soul, and body to that flow from heaven, and I allow it to flow. I don't try and dictate the flow. I don't try and direct the flow. I go with the flow. So then I begin to expand my spirit in oneness with the Holy Spirit and in oneness with my soul. So my spirit begins to encompass my soul around, and my body, and it creates an atmosphere of the kingdom around me. And I rule in that atmosphere. The vibrational frequency of that life that's in me, the light that's in me, the love that's in me, creates an atmosphere of love, joy, peace around me, the kingdom, an atmosphere where I have provision, protection, and blessing. And so I live in a bubble of the kingdom, which flows from my innermost being, flowing out, and is from heaven through me, around me. But I don't want to stop and limit it there. So I extend and expand that atmosphere outwards, because there's no end to the increase of his government and of peace. So I want to bring peace, wholeness, into every sphere of government that I've been given. So if there is no end, then there must be an increase of it. I mustn't become stagnant. I must be flowing. I extend it around my home, my family, the mountain spheres of influence that I have. And I consciously extend it out, because we're not talking about a physical location as much as a spiritual sphere of influence. So I can extend being joined to the Lord and one spirit around my family, my home, all those spheres. And eventually I engage the ecclesia that I have responsibility for, the area that I also have responsibility for, and the region, which I also am, and I'm part of benches of three that are engaged in each of those areas. And as I do that, I begin to release the life that's in me as a gateway of heaven to flow into those areas. So I speak into those areas, I decree into those areas, I let the river of life flow into those areas, and I look to tune and become sensitive to what's going on in those areas, so that if there's a disturbance in those areas, then I can begin to speak into that disturbance. You know, I'm speaking peace, I'm speaking blessing, I'm speaking for God's will and purpose to be at work within those spheres. And that's a sphere which I am cultivating and developing and enveloping. You can do these things from the realm of heaven, in the sense that you can speak from your mountains into situations, but that's not the same as what flows through you, and you're maintaining the flow that comes through that dimension. So then when I go and engage the temple or the ark, my focus there is on what is God's will for me today. I've set the atmosphere, I've set the environment, I maintain a governmental perspective towards that environment. Now I want to know, what do you want me to do? What are you authorizing me to do specifically, whether in heaven, on earth? But I go to find that out. And that's what we've been practicing in some of the exercises through this course. So then really I'm engaging the Father, revere your will for me today. That's my desire. And I ask, Father, my desire is to come into your agreement, resonate, be in harmony with your will today. So I come and I set the agenda, because I want to know his will. My food is to do your will, Father. I choose to take that manna into my heart as my source of supply for this day. So I'm beginning to start to appropriate everything I need to fulfill God's purpose for today, seeing it as food that's going to supply me, nurture me, strengthen me, encourage me. I open my heart up to you. Father, please write your desires on my heart. Now I'm giving God access to begin to reveal his desires, to unveil them in line with my destiny, you know, in inference and analogy, to write it on my heart. Unveil the revelation of my destiny, that the desires of my heart will draw me towards, so that I can see your purposes around me fulfilled. So I'm always looking then to engage the atmosphere around me to see what I need to do to align it with my desire, which is from my destiny that God has placed within my heart. So I surrender. Father, I surrender my day to align my will with your will. I bring whatever it is specifically I might do, or whatever sphere, and I present that to him. And I ask, is there any specific revelation that anything I need to know to help me bring government into whatever that sphere might be, whether it might be the family or the ecclesia or the workplace or whatever it might be for you. So I then begin to expand this. Father, I bring my mountain, whether that be my personal situation in the church, a person, anything I carry in my heart, I can bring before God. And I ask him for his perspective. I ask him for a heavenly perspective, a reality that's not just coming from my memory or my understanding or my assumptions, but I'm looking for something fresh. So if we're going to administrate anything, have government into it, we have to carry it in our hearts. And that is what gives us the desire to outwork it in accordance with God's desires. So there's a huge difference in the levels of authority we can operate in this way. You know, if you carry a person in your heart, you can release forgiveness, you can release blessing, you can release life into that person. You can interact with the angelic realm to create circumstances conducive to their salvation or destiny. You can begin to administrate if you carry them in your heart, because that is a sign that they're with you when you engage the realms of heaven and you're opening up that realm for that to engage them. Now, of course, they will always have free will to choose. We can't control or manipulate people, but we're looking to create an atmosphere that opens their hearts, that the light of the good news can shine into their life and they will seek to follow after it themselves. So we can do that when we carry people in our heart. So when I'm given a specific mandate for a non-human situation, you can legislate and administrate that with a different level of authority, you know, because the level of authority with a person is determined by their choices that they make. But when you've given a non-human situation, you can begin to call, command, create, direct, proclaim, declare with a different level of authority. Creation responds to you when you carry that level of authority towards it. So then you can assign the ordinances of heaven, you align things dimensionally, all the different things that we're learning how to do, you can operate legislatively towards a situation. So I'm really always looking for a daily mandate to open my heart to receive that mandate for today, seeking for God to show me what he's doing today, just like Jesus did when he was living in this way, showing me what I'm authorized to do. And when I receive that mandate, I take it into my heart and I start to value it, cherish it, and surrender to it. And this is the key, to begin to not just, well, God says this, so I will just do it because he says it, but actually start to feel his heart, be moved by what's moving him. And that brings with it a different investment into it. And I have emotions towards it, not just seeing it as a job or a function, but actually I feel something because my heart has embraced it in a different way. Proverbs 4:20. My son, give attention to my words, incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. So this is a really key passage to help see how we can develop and cultivate and ensure that what's in our heart is in alignment with God's will and purpose, and the desires of our heart are aligned with that. So I have to give attention to it. I have to begin to listen to what God's saying. I have to begin to see what he's doing, and I have to keep that in the midst of my conscious mind so that it begins to form in the midst of my subconscious heart and is planted there and begins to have life there. Because once it's within my heart, then it brings life. It brings health to everything I'm doing. And it's really important that I learn to watch over that with diligence, because it's so important, because that's where the flow comes from. So use this scripture to begin to develop and cultivate the desires of your heart. So how do I do that? Well, I brood over it. I incubate it. If I'm looking almost for a pregnancy to form, where God places something in my heart, but as I brood over it and incubate it, it brings it to birth, then there are things that when God calls me to do on a daily basis, I need to learn how to do this quickly and effectively. And because I've learned how to focus and fix my eyes on something and learn how to incubate that quickly, I can bring something to birth in a day. But some things you have to cultivate for a much longer period. So I think about it, I focus my attention on it, I allow my spirit to lead me in accordance to it. I meditate on what it would be like. What would it be like for this desire to be fulfilled? What would it be like for God's purpose to be outworked in this? So I'm very much looking to begin to picture how it would be. Sometimes I might even daydream or imagine or begin just to picture the outworking of it so that the desire of my heart starts to form around it and motivates me and moves me. So literally I'm creating an expectation of hope, and the hope is what God says and what he shows me. And then that expectation grows around that hope, and then faith begins to release that or birth it or manifest it. Now, if I'm looking at this in a natural sense, and you know, I know how to do this in the spirit realm, I also know how to do this in a natural realm. You know, if I'm looking at God has given me a revelation, I can go and find out something about it. I can research about it. I can find more about what he's saying, more about the word. If there's a scripture, begin to engage in that. You know, I can look at others' lives and see the model that's in them. And that maybe inspire me to be moved and motivated as I begin to picture this. You know, and then I begin to want it and need it, and I must have it. Now, in a natural realm, you know, I am someone who likes technology. I like new and innovative things. And when something new comes out and it catches my attention, I often will go and research it, find out the reviews about it, find out what it does. And if it catches my attention sufficiently, then I will start to explore it a little bit deeper. So I will go and may even download the manual to show me all the things it will do. I may go and look at a forum that usually for some technical things, there's often forums. You can go and find out other people's experiences and often find out all the problems that they faced and find all the solutions that they've discovered. So you're pre-armed when you go into something. And as I begin to do that, literally what I'm doing is creating a desire in my heart for it. And once it's created such a desire that it's gone beyond this is interesting to this is could be really useful to I can see how this would really benefit me and I really want this, then I go beyond this is interesting to I must have this. And the more I cultivate that desire, the more I am motivated to outwork it. Then I'll do whatever it takes to make it happen. You know, and if that's something technical, then I might save the money. I might even seek for how I can do that. And I'll find the cheapest way out there to get it and various things like that. But I'm willing to pay the cost for it. And until I'm willing to pay the cost for something, I won't do it. And cultivating desire so that it becomes such a life-giving flow in us will enable us to do whatever it takes to see that outworked. And there won't be any cost that's too high for me to pay. And when I'm looking at God's will and purpose in me, that means I may have to discipline myself in certain areas. I may need to set aside and prioritize time to outwork what God's calling me to do, particularly in terms of like legislation. God started to stir my heart towards legislation, and he asked me to legislate in the evening before I go to bed. Now, to do that, there are things that he's already spoken to me about and things that are part of my destiny and things that he's called me to do and be part of in the realms of heaven that this connected to. And then learning how to do this and giving some time to enable me to do it, the desire was there. So I was willing to change my schedule and change my priorities to make this time available to be able to engage in legislative things. And as a result of that, I've been able to make many different laws and to begin to decree those laws and bring them into being, because that desire was in my heart. So whatever God gives you a desire or gives you a mandate, learn how to cultivate it, because there's always going to be a cost, you know, and that cost won't be something we're willing to pay unless the desire in our heart will enable us to overcome the obstacles of that, which may be that it's difficult or it's awkward or you don't need to know how you're going to do it. But once the desire has taken place, that will grow. And I've learned to do this in both the physical realm and the natural realm. And as I've learned to do this, I've learned how that moves you, motivates you, empowers you, and gives you a greater level of authority to it. If I've invested all the time and the effort to meditate into it, to seek it, to engage it, then I'm much more likely to want to outwork it. If it's just a, oh, well, God says this, I suppose I better do it. The level of authority that that brings is different. Obedience brings a level of authority, but having the heart increases that authority significantly. So then what I'm looking to do is I'm asking the Father to give me revelation of his heart. I want his thoughts in my spirit. I want deep calling out to deep. Something deeper in me is calling out for more, and I choose to engage for that revelation. So I'm asking, show me what this looks like. Show me what this feels like. Show me what it would be like to see this manifested. Yeah, show me how this will outwork. Help me fulfill my destiny in this. You know, I want to know where this fits in with who I am and what I'm called to do. You know, so I choose to come and I brood over certain things in my life at certain times as my spirit leads. Sometimes it's certain mountains. Sometimes it may be our church mountain. Sometimes it could be our blueprint or ecclesia. Different things that I'm incubating at my heart at any one time. And some of these things, there's a season and a time sensitiveness to them. And some of them, these things are more ongoing, and they're something which takes time to incubate and develop. Ultimately, I'm asking God to let my desires become fulfilled as a tree of life, because hope deferred brings the heart sickness, but hope fulfilled becomes a tree of life. And now, again, you know, picture of that tree, the tree of life, having all the fruit on that life, that we can have things that are releasing that life. That's what happens when my heart has the desires that are aligned with God. So I can then begin to then focus on how I outwork that. So on being in him, in his name, in his authority, seeing things from his perspective, having the four faces of God, the order of Melchizedek, you know, being in his name, Yod, Hey, Shin, Vav, Hey, seeing myself in him, outworking it from that perspective. So I choose to step into that perspective. And I would say that, Father, I choose to step into you. I look out at my day, at my circumstances from your heavenly perspective, and that which is in my heart engages with that, and I begin to see different things. I may see the need for order. I might look out through the eyes of the iron lion, the ox, the eagle, and the man, and I begin to see things and administer things from the kingly, prophetic, apostolic, priestly function. Because I carry it in my heart, now I can see more clearly. And a lot of people want to step into the four faces of God and start looking, but they don't have anything in their heart that's connected to it. So literally, you're going through an exercise where you aren't seeing the things through that perspective, because you're not carrying them in your heart. But once you begin to carry them in your heart, you cultivated them or are in the process of cultivating it, then those things will connect and you will start to be able to see where order needs to be in place, or whether you need to bring the word of God towards what that is and speak it out, declare it, prophesy it, call it into being. Things will start to actually form once you have something in your heart. So I can speak perhaps kingly order. I do prophesy things. I decree the vision. I am moved to begin to function from a heavenly governmental perspective and to legislate those things. we can also use the things that are in our heart, the things that we're mandated to do, and our ketubah, which is the things that we've agreed with God that are available for us to be able to outwork our will and purpose and his destiny for us. And we can use that to frame our lives. Now, a lot of people sort of struggle, well, what do you mean by framing it? Well, literally, you're setting the boundaries and aligning it with the picture that you've received out of God's heart. So he's shown you a picture of what this should look like. And let's say it has a particular frame around it that picture is in. Then that sets how you can align your life to align with that picture. That forms the boundaries of our reality. It enables us to come into the truth, true reality of what our life is supposed to be, because we can begin to see it and we can begin to speak into it. We can begin to call it forth and we can come and walk in alignment with it. So what we believe gives us our frame of reference. So if you don't believe certain things are possible, then you cannot bring them into being because you don't believe it. There has to be faith involved, and you can only have faith in that which you believe. So we create our reality, our daily reality, by framing it with our thoughts and words and seeing it pictured in a way that God has revealed to us. And then we can begin to govern that, align it, shift things out of the way that are in the way of it, start calling things to come into being, align the angelic realm with it. So many things we can begin to do. So you may see a frame and you're looking through a frame and it may look all really very nice, but all you're seeing is dark. Yeah, you actually can't actually picture what it is. And God is light. So, you know, we may have a frame which our soul presents around us that gives it this is a really nice frame, but actually it's what you see through it that really matters. And so, you know, I want to have a frame that actually enables me to picture what it is that God is actually showing me. And there are many different shaped frames. And we want to find the frame that actually enables us to have the what God is actually calling us to be involved with, so we can have something that enables us to shape it. Some people will look at a perspective and the frame will look pretty, pretty grim, because their whole life has been framed maybe around failure or rejection or fear. And so you look at your life and it may be framed in a fearful approach. Therefore, you are not in faith to see something change or outworked. So a frame does really matter. And so when I look at it from a heavenly perspective, I really want to engage in a frame which is framed in light and enables me to call into darkness and bring light, to change things in alignment with what it is. So literally, I frame each day to succeed with the favor and blessing of God around me, because I have mandates that say God has blessed me, called me to be fruitful, to multiply, to fill, to subdue, and to rule. So I have that enables me to frame everything up. So I'm in full faith for everything I need to fulfill my mandated purpose today. I'm in full faith that I have the authority to call those things, to release those things, to see those things flowing out of heaven, flowing through me, flowing into the earth around me, into all those spheres that I have authority into. Everything is flowing because I'm actually in full agreement with God's desire for me. And then time is framed to contract and expand around me, to enable me to complete the work God's assigned to me. And so many people say, I haven't got enough time. I'm too busy. I can't do all these things. The reality is you can do everything God's called you to do, but you're responsible to frame that time. So for me, I have a total expectation that I will have all the time available to do everything God's called me to do today. And if that means that my time expands to enable me to do more, then I will control that in the way and govern it and rule it. If it means that my time will contract, in other words, I will be able to do something much quicker than is humanly possible, then I will govern that. I will rule it. I have a total expectation that everything will be aligned to enable me to fulfill God's purpose, but I need to establish it. I'm not going to be controlled by external circumstances that try and rob my time or stop me fulfilling God's purpose. I'm supposed to rule it. So time needs to be framed. So I'm never too busy to do all he desires to do through me. And I always have that expectation. I always have the resources necessary available to me to enable me to subdue, to solve, to overcome every obstacle, every hindrance, anything the enemy puts in my way. I know that I have authority to move those things out of the way. And the resources, whether they're heavenly resources, whether they're the power of my voice that speaks and commands things to move, I know that I will be able to do that because I'm aligned with God's will and my heart has the desire that will enable me to overcome. I frame my day and my night. So when I go to bed at night, I frame my night. I call the rest that my body and soul needs. While my spirit remains active and I'm released into the heavenly realms and I can do things spiritually there, I actually don't just allow things to come into my sleep or disturb me or cause problems because I actually frame up rest and peace. And I choose to do that, again, from the scripture and the truth that God promised me rest. He promises me those things. So I use that. So literally what I'm looking to do is to be continually connected to heaven's creative light source that operates at a faster speed than creative light. So my soul is here and my soul is operated in created light, but my spirit is in the realms of heaven and all the resources that I've begun to frame and call into existence are flowing from that source into this source whenever I need it because it's always available because it's there before I ever need it here. And we need to then begin to see things from that whole perspective and it will change how we deal with the circumstances. We won't be under those circumstances. Those circumstances are subject to us. Everything we need is available and flowing when we learn to connect with heaven and earth and live in these dual realms and outwork it. So in a sense, it's always available first or before in that realm so that it's available to be released in this realm as I need it. Therefore, I am able to do everything that I'm going to need. Everything's there. Everything I'm going to need is ready and waiting whenever I need to use it. And I have total faith in that. So as a gateway of heaven on earth, it can flow through me. You know, the seven spirits of God are actively releasing wisdom, knowledge, understanding, counsel, strength, and authority from that higher and superior realm in my life because they're there to help me fulfill the position of government that I carry as a son of God. So there's activity. It's not just all me as well. That whole angelic realm is activated to help me fulfill my destiny and purpose because they are ministering spirits assigned to those who are inheritors of salvation, which I am, and no doubt you are. So I'm not subject to the circumstances. I'm the head and not the tail. Circumstances change to enable me to live in rest and peace and fulfill my daily mandates from God. Now, if you don't believe that, then you won't be able to frame that and you won't be able to live into it. But if you do, then you can begin to learn how to cultivate the desire so you can release that into your life. So as I seek first God's kingdom in his righteousness, I have a full expectation that he will add all that I need. So there are certain things in my life that I never concern myself about because I have a promise that he's going to deal with them. And if things start to get to a situation where I'm having to think about certain of those things, then I will remind him of that. You know, the things I'm thinking about are the things that enable me to fulfill his purpose. I'm not really needing to think about, well, where I live, what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to wear. All the natural things that he promises will be available to me, I trust him. And I see them released. Now, in a reality, I am the very name of God. I am that I am actually lives in me. He lives in you. That enables me to succeed from a perspective of God's heart in eternity. I am connected to God's eternal heart. So as I engage in what was, And I say what was because in a sense it helps us to connect with it, but really it isn't. We're talking, not talking about history, we're talking about eternity, where everything is always what is, from that perspective. And I align myself with that in the realm of heaven, then I will be able to create what will be, and I become a history maker. I can begin to make the beginning and the end align and complete that circle, which is that eternal pathway that often we look at. But it means that I need to engage from an eternal perspective. I'm not framing my life out of my natural reasoning or understanding. I come from that eternal frame. So I am all that I need to be and possess all that I need to have to be blessed and prosperous. That means to succeed in what God has called me to do. So at all times, in all circumstances, I will have all grace, God's divine enabling power, available. It's available to meet all my needs, enable me to do all the good works God has prepared for me, and to bring glory and honor to him. That's what I'm talking about in terms of framing my life. I'm living in the good of that which I believe and that which I establish. So I live this way. Now, I'm not saying I'm perfect and I don't have to deal with certain things at certain times, but this is my expectation, and this is what enables me to function and flow in these things. So I have a full expectation of succeeding each day, as my day is subject to my rule and is not just left to chance. I don't just get up and hope everything works out. I establish my day before I ever live it. I go into eternity and see how it is from before it ever was. And then I can release that, and that causes me to be able to release it. So I align my life with my scroll of destiny, not with my generational history. And I do that by being a living sacrifice. I surrender all that so that I can live from my eternal destiny and that scroll. So I will be fulfilled, satisfied, content, filled with love and joy and peace. That's my expectation. And that's how I live. I live in according to my eternal destiny, my eternal identity, fully embracing who I am in God's kingdom. So I'm the answer to creation's groan as a manifested Son of God. You know, I want to respond to sonship and to see creation respond to me as I am its solution rather than its problem. So I expect Jesus as my high priest. He's after the order of Melchizedek, that governmental order, to prepare me to serve him as I yield and surrender to his perfect will for my life each day. Strip everything away. Search my heart, O God. All the sort of dealing with gateways and preparing our lives, you know, I surrender and yield to that every day. I engage the cross. I exchange old for new. You know, trading into the cross is a really important thing. Trading into the promises of God are really important. And what have we got to offer? Our faith. It's faith that causes that trade to take place. So I accept my responsibility as sonship, the roles that I have within heavenly realms and in the earthly kingdom, and I begin to administrate the government of God through that framework. So he's my head. I accept responsibility of his government upon my shoulders. I daily decree and declare, here I am, send me, or here am I, send me. You know, I open my heart to God daily, that he would write on the tablets of my heart, unveil and reveal his will for me. You know, this is consistent lifestyle. It doesn't take me that long to do this, because I've now learned how to develop that pathway and do it quickly. But I'm really looking so that the desires of my heart would be aligned with the desires of his heart. Then I would be guided, directed, and they would draw me towards my destiny every day. So my spirit and my heart are functioning together in unity. So when I stand daily in God's heart from that eternal perspective, I can be programmed by his thoughts about me. I can be programmed and engaged so that I can flow out from that place. And I do that every day. I stand in that eternal place where there is no sin to filter the light of the truth that becomes my true reality. I have revelation of his will, his purpose, encoded in that light, that creative light. I'm literally in the light matrix of his creative thoughts and words. That is actually the true fabric and essence of who I am. That's why I love standing in eternity. I'm just surrounded by the vast sum of his thoughts. I'm surrounded by his heart. You know, it's just the place where I feel home and enables me to bring that eternal perspective out. So when I stand there, it's just like there's just this an amazing sense of all the possible potential possibilities that exist. Yeah. And literally, I look through that and I don't want it to be dark and black, because what I've received in my spirit enables me to bring light. It's framed in light, and I can see the outworking of the creativeness of light outworked in my day from an eternal perspective. And that grows and grows and grows. The more I spend time there, the more what I'm seeing is God's possibility and potential and how I can outwork that in my everyday life. So literally, you know, God wants us to embrace the sound of heaven and begin to resonate with it, the frequency of heaven. And there's this little phrase, you know, that I can come into alignment with it. Hope is the ability to hear the music of eternity. Faith is the courage to dance to it today. And God wants us to bring hope and faith, the expectations and the manifestation out into everything we do on a very clear daily basis. So we'll go into a basic exercise. Again, you know, this is just something that I want to encourage you to do continually, practice. You know, you're not going to just walk into God's heart and know everything. It's an ongoing process of engagement, which you can do day after day after day. And, you know, and I would encourage you to begin to do that. And again, on this journey, on this exercise, just allow your spirit to be led by God, by Jesus, and just go where he wants you to go. You know, we're going to spend some time just looking to engage his heart and looking how that can affect his heart. You know, we've engaged in eternity before, but when it comes to cultivating desire, being moved by that desire, it's the best place to be and best place to go. So we'll re-engage that today. You may just want to shift your focus from where you are right now. Maybe you're focused here. Start to shift that focus into the realms of heaven. We know there's a door standing open, and we can receive that invitation to come up here or to come and shift our focus to engage where Jesus is. It's engaging through beyond the veil into the realm of the kingdom. And as we meet Jesus standing there, we just present ourselves to him as a living sacrifice. He's our high priest. We engage the cross by faith and exchange old for new, and we stand in robes of righteousness as the righteousness of God, surrendering our free will, declaring, "Not my will but yours be done." Jesus, I ask you will just take each person by the hand today, that you will just lead us to engage in that deeper place of rest and relationship with you, that you would bring us through the veils from now and just bring us before the ark of your presence, that we just come, our desire to resonate with your will, that you would unveil that desire for our heart today as we open our hearts, that you would teach us how to keep these things in the midst of our heart. I ask that you would just release to each person here something that you want them to cherish in their hearts, that you want them to nurture, that you want them to grow and to incubate. Just reveal something fresh or a reminder of a mandate, that each person would receive something written into their hearts today, that they can begin to culture and nurture. We just fix our eyes upon you. And as we just resonate with your presence, thinking of your name and the power of your name, and of the four faces of God, we just choose to step into your faces as we stand within you. We just begin to just brood hearts be moved by what moves yours. Jesus, again, I would ask you would just lead each person to that place of engagement today that would unveil more of the revelation of your heart. That you would lead each of us back to that place of eternity where we can stand our spirit and our consciousness of our spirit just standing within your heart, unveil the revelation of who you are. Surround us, can cocoon us in the vast sum of your thoughts. Let your heart be revealed to our hearts. Let your desires become our desires. Spirit just to absorb the reality of the beginning, the frame that creates your reality today from an eternal perspective, free from the restraints of sin, surrounded by that matrix of God's thoughts and hearts. Just standing in this place, just allow your spirit to frame from God's perspective, to be moved, to feel God's heart, that your creativity an authority to align your what is with what you've experienced in this realm. As you just begin to walk back into what is spiritually empowered, mandated for all that's within your heart, you may feel led to go and speak out through the four faces of God to bring kingly order, release the oracles of God from an eternal perspective around your life, bring legislative order. Just be open to be led. You may feel you want to go to your mountain, and from your mountain begin to legislate, to start to bring alignment in your day, to bring order to it. Just in that position from your throne. Allow your spirit to release, to order, to create that expectation of hope that faith will manifest around you, through you, as you decree and declare and call forth and bring order and alignment and frame your day from the desire that was within your heart, aligned with God's desires, empowering you, envisioning in you. And remember that you can plant the testimony of that which you've received in the garden of your heart, that you will have that continual fruit to go back to and a doorway of to re-engage. So this will become your lifestyle, who you are, how you live, how you rule and legislate. And as you have these things in your heart, you will find that you will need certain things to legislate with, laws, legislation to use, that then you can begin to shape and bring order to the things in your life. And as you begin to seek for that legislation, you can begin to establish that in the different courts of heaven. It gives you the authority. Just feel free to continue to practice, to engage, to learn, to grow, to mature in government.